roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
What is going on, Junkie Nation? Gorgeous George and Goz reporting in for duty. It's Thursday, November 5th. Man, what a fun show we got. Couple times in the last few months, our guest no-showed, and I kept saying, we're just going to have to get two in 1 week to make up for it. That way you could always look back and tell your friends they always have somebody on their show. And we got Julian Marquez and Daniel Cormier on today's show. Julian Marquez fights on November 14th against some guy whose name is not easy to spell, Sepapog Sefarov or something like that. Daniel Cormier, of course, retired from the game recently, UFC legend, former champion at light heavyweight and heavyweight, now a UFC commentator. He's got a lot going on. He's got shows on ESPN and businesses that he probably hasn't told you about. I can sneak one in. I think he said it on our show. I think he has a couple barbershops. So good on him, the entrepreneur, Daniel Cormier, at 9:30 a.m. Pacific. Julian Marquez will join us at 9:10 a.m. Pacific. Of course, we'll go over the latest news, including the Contender Series. Last night, we had a Dana White Contender Series. Notice I didn't call it Dana White Tuesday Night Contender Series. That's because it took place on a Wednesday. I don't think they wanted to go head-to-head with Biden versus Trump. So they moved it to a Wednesday, and then they got two more shows, I think, to finish out Season 4. They'll go back to Tuesdays going forward. So if you missed it, yeah. That sucks. I think we gave you a reminder on Monday's show. I don't know. Of course, we're going to go over the latest news nuggets as well. So buckle up, Junkie Nation. It's MMA Junkie Radio on a Thursday, November 5th.
Habla español, amigo.
Hola amigos, Danny Segura dropping in. Just wanted to let you know about MMA Junkie's latest podcast. It's Hablemos MMA, a weekly Spanish language show dedicated to all things professional fighting. Each Monday, we recap the major events from the weekend, plus we analyze the week's biggest news. We also bring you exclusive interviews with the best fighters, coaches, and experts in the Hispanic and Latin American scene. You can find Hablemos MMA every Monday morning on your favorite podcasting platform. Suscríbete y nos hablamos pronto. Chao.
One thing you can always do when you go to the MMA Junkie site, that's our home base where MMA Junkie Radio, the official radio show of MMA Junkie, is utilize those tabs at the top. I mean, I know when you get there, it's in a blog form, the stories are there, videos are there, and you just start scrolling, blam, 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 blam. But, for example, right now, I just went on MMAJunkie.com, and I'm going to hit results, and I'm going to go to Dana White Contender Series 34, which is the card from last night. And it'll give you all the information of what happened, you know, in case you are wondering these things when Junkie Radio isn't on. So pay attention to that, schedule, rankings. There's all kinds of tabs that can take you to different parts of the website that you can navigate through. Goes, last night, was last night the biggest slam dunk ever in the history of Dana White Contender Series? I mean, they only had four instead of five, but all four guys made a statement.
Yeah, I think it's one of those where if we were there live and we were talking to all the other people in the media, usually what we do is we sit there and we all do the math and why this guy should get it and why that guy should get it. But in this particular one, yeah, like you said, slam dunk. I mean, how do you not give these guys contracts? The only one thing I can say is some of them cats look like maybe they were in the wrong division, but that seems like it would be something that would get sorted out along the way. But really good performances and good finishes.
Yeah. So We'll start from the bottom and go to the top because it's so quick. Jared Van Ma defeated Harry Handsucker. TKO punches round one. Once he got him down, he was able to get him in a dominant position. Not necessarily like a mount or anything, but he had him up against the cage with like some side control, and he just beat on him. And Handsucker just decided to cover up. Look, sometimes that works to your advantage if you can absorb a couple, and then boom, spring right up. Remember, he wasn't mounted on top of him, so he probably could have. But these are some big dudes; they aren't, you know, they aren't as nimble, I guess, as some of the other guys. Now, prior to Handsucker, did have some big shots. You know, he was throwing some big shots, and I was thinking, wow, this fight could end either way. But Vandera got the win. Luis Saldana defeated Vince Murdoch. TKO punches. Third round. It took a while for this one, but he got the job done. And again, at Dana White Contender Series, you're auditioning. So the win is nice. And if you win and go to a decision, but you're giving full effort till the end, at least that's the recipe that Dana White's laid out, good chance you might get a contract. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's not guaranteed they're going to give away four or three or five. Sometimes they honestly just go with two or one. But Luis Saldana got the job. And by the way, Vandera, Saldana, I'm not even going to say it because Dana White already spoke glowingly about them last night. He wanted them all, man. He couldn't wait. Ignacio Bahamondes defeated Edson Gomez. That's one of the fights that definitely looked like it was two different cats. Not only just weight class, but skill ability. There you go. I don't know why I was trying to extend the word. Edson Gomez, at times when he threw, he looked like someone you don't want to meet on the streets because he has heavy hands. But, yeah, he was a little wild. And then once he started getting tagged up, he was just lunging and swinging and, you know, everything. And eventually got caught with a front kick. Goes, how nasty was that?
Oh, he practically swallowed it. I mean, twice. He got hit with two of them. But it was funny because, like, some of those fights last night, you kind of had an inclination as to who was going to win, like almost like it's a matter of time. But the guy they were fighting, who we thought was possibly going to lose, did enough to kind of keep you interested because they were all throwing bombs. Like, nobody just showed up last night. I thought everybody did pretty well.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It looked like an audition. Everybody that wanted a contract was going for it. And then we get to the main event. We have Bruno Oliveira versus Carlos Ulberg. Ulberg had a little bit of notoriety going in. He's one of Izzy's workout partners. Izzy had been with him this whole time, and he spoke about him, you know, in some interviews that he had done pre-fight, saying, this is the guy that gives me a lot of trouble, you know, when we're sparring as a team. And A, he's, you know, a bigger guy, and B, you know, he's talented. Now, look, he's only 2-0, well, 3-0 now, but he has a kickboxing background, so I bet you him and Izzy really have some nice wars there at the gym. Quick shout out to Israel Adesanya. Goz and I are going to be speaking to him later. Yes, we tried to get him here, but he's a night owl. It wasn't even close, folks. Even if this was a 10 a.m. Pacific show, 11 a.m. Pacific show, I think he wakes up at the crack of noon. So we're talking to him tonight or later today at 2 p.m. But be on the lookout for that interview. Anyway, whatever you want to say about Bahamondes, Saldana, Vandera, Ulberg, they all look great. I think they all deserve contracts. No problems here. I think back in the day, all of us hanging around waiting for the announcement, I think everybody would have been just rushing to their car to get home.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it was a fun night. It's a good way to come back. It just kind of sucks that everything that's going on with the election and all that, it was tough because even myself, I'm going back and forth in between fights, you know, where I'm normally gobbling up some of these interviews. You know, they had a nice interview with Israel Adesanya. In between, I'm going back to see what the results are in the election and anything popping. So it was a difficult night for them to have to do it, but I'm glad they're back, and it was a great night.
It definitely was, and I love Dana White Contender Series. Tuesday night, Wednesday night, whatever. I think Tuesday's a little bit better. Gives me a little bit of a breather before I get to Saturday, because Saturday, man, you plant your ass on the couch for so long. I'm the type of guy that watches the fights from the first fight on all the way to the end. So, you know, that's just my thing. So if I can separate it, it's like my Monday night football to whatever I watch on Sunday, Monday, and then you get the breather until you get back to colleges, I guess, or now the Thursday night game. Who knows? Now with Bellator on Thursdays, who knows if we'll really get a break in this sport going forward, folks. I mean, it's getting going again. And, you know, just a few months ago, we were like wondering if we were going to get anything at all for 2020. Then along comes the UFC. They never really gave up. You know, PFL had canceled their season. Bellator was just going to kind of wait and see. They were kind of quiet, actually. One championship was kind of quiet as well. UFC was just churning them out, but once a week. And we were used to a little bit more of a heavier pace. Now we got the heavier pace. All right. And now we got LFA and CFFC and everything on Fight Pass. I'm sure Bare Knuckle will be chiming in soon. Boxing is getting going. Some good boxing matches going on this weekend. One of the pound for pound greats, Terrence Crawford, fights this weekend. Anthony Joshua's booked for December. I know we have Mikey Garcia and Errol Spence Jr. Why do I feel like I'm missing another one? But things are really, really getting going in boxing and all of combat sports. But anyway, back to the UFC or back to MMA. You know, we got the show on Thursday for Bellator, and we got the Saturday night show at the UFC with Thiago Santos versus Glover Teixeira. That is a nice main event. I can't wait for it. And I think I've said that three times. Both got COVID, both got over COVID, and I guess both are going to be ready to tangle now. And, you know, now that I think about it, I haven't heard too much from somebody that had COVID, but then said it affected them. So that's the good news. COVID also has some underlying effects, long-term effects, I should have said, that, you know, many people have had. They call them long haulers. And I'm thinking maybe it's just the seniors that have been, you know, gotten hit with that. You know, when you say stuff like that, you feel like you want to make sure you don't offend anybody. I think all of us know somebody that's for sure gotten it. Some of us might even know someone who's not survived it. So, and when you say mostly seniors, you know, that could hit home to somebody that lost a kid, a young adult or whatever. So just know that I'm pretty cognizant of that. And that's why you'll hear me say mostly, because this thing is everywhere. Anyway, what I was saying was these are, you know, the five round fights are the ones I'm mostly talking about, you know, when it comes to COVID. Both guys getting hit with COVID, could one of those guys run into the proverbial wall in round four?
Mm-hmm. I think it's definitely possible. The one thing that I've been able to tell from seeing other fighters is it seems like everybody's case is just completely different. Some guys are like, I didn't even know I had it. Other guys are like, dude, this is brutal. We saw a video on Instagram from Pearl Gonzalez. She was supposed to fight an Invicta, had to pull out of her fight. And she was sobbing. She said it was awful. It was one of the worst things ever. So I would imagine, let's just say, okay, let's just say you feel as if you had a really bad flu. Well, anybody who's had a really bad flu, it takes time to get back from that. You know, even like, even when you're still able to go to work and do your stuff, like you're still kind of feeling the effects of that. And this is something that's probably a little bit stronger. So I'm sure it has kind of affected them a little bit. The only thing that I don't like about this fight, I mean, I love the fight in general. I was more fired up for it when I felt like something was going to come out of it. And now that we're leaning more towards Izzy and Blachowicz, it's kind of lost its luster a little bit. I think maybe the UFC made a mistake in bringing that fight up.
Okay, you have a strong point, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I wonder if these guys even bother to sign up with a five-round fight. You know, if you're told, hey, the winner gets the winner of Blachowicz versus Reyes, because that's when it was made. It wasn't made after Blachowicz and Reyes. It was made before. Remember, it's been postponed a few times. And if somebody told you you got the champ, then you're probably saying, where do I sign? You know, as long as the numbers match up, where do I sign? But now it's different. Now we got Israel Adesanya fighting Jan Blachowicz. You're fighting a five-round fight, which I guess you would do anyway. That's usually what these guys and gals wind up saying. But it's because it's fight week, it's too late. A lot of them don't want to upset the company, but it's when they lose and then look back and go, you know, what was I thinking? Or when they've had a few of these in their career and then they go, wow, I never got paid more for these, you know, and here I am. Remember Frankie Edgar, how many rounds he logged because of his fighting style?
Yeah. And
he had like 10 fights, but he had so many 5-round wars that was basically 50 rounds, you know, and then there was other guys that had 10 fights. Well, and not ended in the first round, and they were barely in the 20s. But, you know, it's just fighting styles.
It's kind of like when you think of Kobe and LeBron. Those guys spent so much of their careers in the playoffs going to the finals. Then you add in the Olympics and all that stuff. Like, their careers, whatever they ended at, whatever Kobe ended at number-wise, whatever LeBron's going to end up at number-wise, you could practically add 3 or 4 seasons to that when you add up all of the playoff appearances and extra months that they had to play while everybody else is just laying on the couch. That was what kind of happened to Frankie Edgar. Like, when you add those extra rounds to his career, you're probably going to end up with about 3 or 4 extra fights.
And LeBron's the perfect example because I think he missed the playoffs last year, but before then, he had not only gone to the playoffs, he had gone to 10 finals. And I think he's got 4 rings, so he lost 6 finals. They didn't all go to game 7, but that doesn't matter because a lot of the series to get there go to game 7. It's a lot of wear and tear on your legs. And, yeah, you do probably 3 of those in a row, and you've probably played the equivalent of almost an entire season. I hope I didn't go too overboard, but a season's 82 games. And if you go playoff series of 5, 7, and 7, so what's that? A possible of 26, maybe four of those. But it takes about 3 weeks to get through a playoffs. 3 months to get through a playoff. So time-wise, yeah, man, you're riding a lot. And then when you're usually one of those stars playing for world titles, guess what call you get the following week? Hey, you want to join Team USA?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
like, say no to that.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they do when you've already won a pair of gold medals and world championships and, you know, what can you do, you know? But I think those guys get treated so well, and I think the coaches know. So I can't imagine that they have, like, the most grueling workouts. And not to disparage the opposition, because there's some great teams that have pulled some upsets over the years. Like at the Pan Am Games, World Championships, but still going in, there's like one or two of those that you target: Spain, Croatia, Brazil. I think got us once in a Pan American Games. You look up there, and then you go, okay, we gotta just get up for that.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, it's like 100-40. Have you ever seen those first round scores?
Oh yeah, but that we can't do that no more. I remember when I was growing up though. Back then, they used, like, the best college players, I think. And then that's when the Dream Team started and all that.
Yeah, the Dream Team kind of put an end to that. And then we had the second Dream Team, which was 96. They were top two, and they won. But one of the Dream Teams, I think, let us down. And it may have been a world championship, and it may have been an Olympic. I'm going to write it down because I want to share that with our audience during the next one, because that's an interesting topic.
I think one of the very first Dream Team still brought 2 college players, right? Didn't they bring Christian Laettner and somebody else?
I want to say only one, and it was just him. I can't think of the other one.
Oh.
Yeah. He got lucky. He played on those Duke teams that made it to 2 finals. He won 1 final, lost the other. I think he went to Final Fours all 4 years. I'm calling him the greatest college basketball player ever. He had, like, one of the greatest buzzer beaters ever. And then he gets to join the Dream Team. Now, his pro career wasn't all that. But, like, the first 22 years of his life was a dream. I imagine in high school, he probably, you know, had some good experiences too.
There's a – oh, man, I always forget this kid's name. But he went to UNLV, and he left early. And he actually got lucky because he got drafted by Golden State. So his first 2 years, he won a title. And then he got traded to the Raptors. And he won a title there. So, like, his first 3 years in the NBA, he won a title.
Really?
Something like that, yeah.
Impressive.
Or maybe it was the first 2 years. I can't remember. But
when he was a scrub?
At UNLV, he was a stud. Oh, did he get in the game in the NBA?
In the NBA, was he a scrub or a stud?
On on Golden State, he would rarely get in. But I think with the Raptors, he did get in quite a bit. And now he gets in somewhat regularly. I can't remember his name. Pat McCaw.
Oh, I remember him. All right. Look, I think at this point we're running into problems here locating Julian Marquez. We got Daniel Cormier coming up here in about 10 minutes. If you see me looking over to my left, it's because I got the election. And right now, I guess we're supposed to find out, not now, but soon, I think we're supposed to find out who our next president might be, number 46. And they got all these bells and whistles, you know, on all these news shows with scrollers and tickers and red, white, and blue everywhere. So every single time I'm thinking, oh, here it comes. But, and you know, it's funny because I remember doing the show with you and Frank Trigg at the Mandalay Bay. I clearly remember this one. And as we were doing it, that's where our studio is, folks, at the Mandalay Bay Sportsbook. When the pandemic's over, if you find yourself in Vegas, stop by, say hello. We were there, and I remember looking on the screen because they play sports. They have horse racing mostly highlights, mostly ESPN, the talking shows. But they had stopped to announce that Barack Obama had won the 2009 election. And I remember Trigg was really emotional because Trigg's half black. And he kind of stood for a second and he collected his thoughts. And then he just said how impactful that's going to be for the United States, to him as an African-American, to the African-American community. You know, I remember he took his time and said some really nice things, but it was very, very impactful, you know. And this is a time where we might have the first woman vice president, and it'll be somebody of color. So that, you know, this is going to be historic either way, but I'm not going to get into that right now. I'm just going to let you know if I hear anything. Going forward here, I do want to mention what is going on with the rest of these tabs here at the top of MMA Junkie. I mentioned results earlier. If you hit schedule, it tells you exactly what's going on this week. So I'm going to tell you what's going on this week. On Thursday, we got Bellator. Melvin Manhoff versus Corey Anderson. That's right. Corey Anderson moved over from the UFC to Bellator a few months ago. He's got his first matchup. It's Melvin Manhoff, CBS Sports Network, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. The co-main event will be Tyrell Fortune versus Syed Sama. Vinicius de Jesus will fight Austin Vandefort. That's a bummer because I think it was going to be Curtis Melinda versus Austin Vandefort. Melinda's out. And Derek Anderson will fight Khalis Mota. Also on the fight card, the prelims, by the way, are on MMA Junkie at 4:45 p.m. Eastern. You can watch Georgie Karakanyan versus Bryce Logan. Karakanyan's a good friend of the show. And I don't recognize too many of the other names, so maybe some of them might be local. Jesse Meehl versus Janae Harding. I've ranked them before, or at least contemplated ranking them before. They're very familiar to me. Prelims on MMA Junkie, 4:45 Eastern, 1:45 Pacific. Main card, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. They're out at the Mohegan Sun Arena in Uncasville, Connecticut. Manhoff versus Corey Anderson. Manhoff fought at welterweight at one point, and he's moving up to light heavyweight. Corey Anderson's a big light heavyweight. I just think he's going to get steamrolled. He's mid-40s. Yes, I know he's a great kickboxer. Yes, I know he's fought MMA. Yes, I know he's got power in his hands. But come on, man. This is a showcase fight for Corey Anderson.
I think it's a little scary. But, yeah, if Corey Anderson gets a hold of him, I think it's over. But speed is probably one of the things that goes away a little bit as you get older. But the one thing that if you ever see any Melvin Manhoff fights, God, he's like a Tasmanian devil in the way he's able to get his shots in, just so many. And he's not the traditional 1-2 guy, you know, like they're coming from every angle, uppercuts. It just looks like a cartoon fight. And he hits really, really hard. So, I give him somewhat of a chance. But, look, let's just pull some politics in this. Corey Anderson's a big signing for Bellator. I mean, come on, if you're running Bellator, you're going to throw him up against the guy that you believe is going to beat the guy that you brought in to make some waves? Probably not. Right. But that has also come back and bit them in the ass quite a few times. So you never know.
Yeah. Continuing on here, if you go to schedule again and look, One, Championship 119 Inside the Matrix. Two, last week was Inside the Matrix 1 with four title fights. They're back. They got a title fight in their welterweight division. So check that out on BR Live. That is November 6th, and that's early on the Pacific time zone, mid-morning in the Eastern time zone. Actually, still early morning in the Eastern time zone. And then, of course, UFC on ESPN, plus 40, Santos versus Teixeira on Saturday. Last week, they started really early, and I think we usually try and tell you the time so you don't get caught off guard, but it's prelims at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. That's actually a pretty normal start. Last week, it was 1 p.m. Pacific, so it was really, really early. And one of the first fights is Gustavo Lopez against Anthony Berchek. Berchek is back. Max Griffin, he was recently on MMA Junkie Radio. He's fighting Darren Elkins, good friend of the show as well. Giga Chikadze, who I think is 3-0 or 4-0 in 2020. Good on him. I think he was supposed to fight Jeremy Stevens. That's a replacement fight, but Bevan Lewis versus Trevin Giles. We move over to the main card. Claudia Gadelha versus Yan Jungnan. Brendan Allen versus Ian Hinch. Ronnie Barcelos versus Khalid Taha. Andre Arlovsky versus Tanner Bowser. And Thiago Santos versus Glover Teixeira. 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on ESPN2 and ESPN Plus. It's a simulcast. The prelims are only on ESPN Plus. And going back to Bellator, don't forget they're on CBS Sports Network. If you have DirecTV, it's channel 221.
So, yeah.
Tons of MMA, guys.
Tons of MMA. And then I think you covered this earlier, but when you blend in boxing right now, like boxing's closing out this year with a lot of big fights. So if you're a combat sports fan, you're going to have a lot to watch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to be tickled to death at that point. I already mentioned some of the good ones coming up. I think it was Errol Spence Jr. versus Mikey Garcia. Crawford goes this weekend. Joshua goes. Wasn't there one other big matchup? I'll see if I can find it at some point. I usually just use the ESPN boxing schedule.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've used for years, and then it usually lines it up. Heck, I might just check it right now. Daniel Cormier set to join us in a few minutes. We'll talk to the former UFC light heavyweight champ, ask him how retirement is. I got to imagine that he's at peace. He seems to me like someone who's at peace, right, guys, with the decision. Like he doesn't even play the, well, you never know game. You know what I mean?
I like to give him the well, you never know question. Just because you really don't know. Sometimes people wake up differently and they see things like Anderson Silva fight for the last time and they want to recapture their glory. But yeah, he does seem like the type of guy that really thought all this out, and his decision will probably be final, I guess.
Well, let me rephrase it like this then. What I think he seems like is somebody who, if he were to never fight again, he'd be at peace. And if he does fight again, okay, sure, you talk me into it. But again, if you don't, it doesn't look like anyone that's just, you know, back and forth and wishy-washing it. Ryan Garcia fights Luke Campbell on December 5th. Oh, goes. How can we forget? Mike Tyson against Roy Jones Jr.
It's an exhibition.
What's that?
Yeah, it's an exhibition, right?
Oh, yeah, but you're going to tell me you're not going to tune in?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm not going to pay for it, I'll tell you that. And with COVID-19, it's not like you're looking at your phone going, who's hosting the fights tonight?
This is for some of you beasts out there, some of you Neanderthals. I got a friend named Elvis Johnson who hasn't had a haircut in like pretty much a year since COVID started. Let's call it March 1st. So what's that? Like 8 months? I was looking at him the other day and I was like, man, you are a mess. Imagine what he's like in the rest of his body. In fact, I don't want to imagine, but he's got this long hair. He almost looks like Robert Duvall in the movie Gone in 60 Seconds. Remember, he was the messy mechanic?
Yeah,
a little bit. Mustache going. So imagine the mess you can become if you let yourself go. Well, guess what? Manscaped has got you covered. Look at all these products that they sent us for your nut sack, all right, for all your grooming needs downstairs, and it all came in this beautiful box, Manscaped 3.0, with all kinds of goodies here. I want to show you guys. We got a t-shirt. All right. Boxer briefs. How about that?
Nope.
And then when you travel, it all comes in this carry-on case. It says Manscaped right there. I don't know if I'm holding it. It's pretty sharp. It really is pretty sharp.
I like mine. I got it, and I have it all planned out perfectly the way I use it. It's got a even if you want to be the Picasso of downstairs, you know, you got all your clips, everything in this little bag. And then I like this Reviver, the ball toner. This one I think I'm going to start keeping in the car because you never know. One day –
reach down to the car, just take care of that at home, no?
Well, no, no. But see, the good thing about this one – see, okay, so here's what I do.
The just ball toner is cool, all right?
You take care of this at home.
Oh, right? I see.
But if you're out and about,
yes,
and your pickle is in a pickle, then you go to your glove compartment, you grab this, you run into the bathroom or something real quick, give yourself a little spritz, and you're good to go. See what I'm saying? So I'm starting to think that the strategy here with the ball toner is maybe keep it in your car or something like that, or disguise it as like your air freshener in the car or something. But this one will get you out of a jam, so that one I keep kind of I'm going to start keeping it out of this bag and in my glove compartment. But
you're speaking to yourself right now. I heard a zipper.
Oh, no. That's but yeah, that's the cool thing about what we're doing here with Manscaped is, you know, you have to remember for a limited time, subscribers get not just one, but two free gifts. And the gifts come in handy, man. You know, it's a travel bag that you see here. It's pretty dope. And then the patented high performance anti-chafing Manscaped boxers, which are dope. I've worn them one time already. I need to get more of them because they fit nice and perfect. But you get 20% off free shipping with the code JunkieNation.
Yes, and I know a lot of you have been to an actual barber and maybe you got zapped around the ear or, you know, around the neck. So you're thinking, do I really, really want to be, you know, taking care of myself with one of those razors? This is what caught my eye, folks. I showed you guys the other day, you know, it comes with all these instructions, obviously, the Lawnmower 3.0. I was looking. I wrote my notes down. It says, Manscaped is changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0. Perfect Package includes their Premier Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. And I was like, yeah. But, man, what about those nicks? What's going on? It's got skin-safe technology, all right? It's to reduce nicks and tugs on the fellas down below. And I think that's got to be one of the main things for anybody that's wondering, do I really, really want to go near the fellas? Do I really want to go near Zeus? Everybody's got a name for their guy, right? So skin-safe blades, folks, you're in good hands.
And read the direction. The directions tell you how to use the shaver. You know, like, there's certain tricks to it, too, because – nicks can be scary, but that's the good thing about this is you don't get them. So
as long as you get 20% off and free shipping with the code JunkieNation, give your testies the absolute besties. 20% off free shipping with the code JunkieNation at manscaped.com. And go to manscaped.com and check out the website because it's got all kinds of goodies in there. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code JunkieNation. Don't get bogged. Trim your hog with Manscaped. All right. So, Julian Marquez has been rescheduled to another show, and soon, hopefully, at this point, hopefully we're not jinxed twice, Daniel Cormier will join us. Daniel Cormier is like one of the nicest guys. He actually showed up to our studio once with Popeyes, and he'll play video games with us while he's doing interviews. He'll eat Popeyes with us while we're doing interviews, but he can also get lost sometimes when I text him and give him these reminders. He's busy. And I believe he might be home actually caring for or being there for a family member. I don't know if he's going to want to talk about that or not. I know he talked about it on ESPN, but that's why I can't go too heavy on the guy, you know. But, I reached out to him yesterday and he was good to go. So I'm going to give him a quick little nudge here, goes.
All right. And then just to clear up with Julian Marquez. He was training. He's at the, I believe he's at the Performance Center. I'm not sure though, but he was training and he was going to stop training to do the interview, but we had Daniel Cormier lined up. So I didn't want to just get him in here for 5 minutes. I figured we'd just reschedule.
Yeah. Yeah. So, cause when you're on live, sometimes one of them will just, you get to a certain time and it'll push on to the next person, and then it becomes a trickle effect. So that's probably the best thing. But we are going to do, trust us, we're the experts when it comes to making it up for the audience. We used to do Brazil blasts. We did six fighters in 1 hour, and it took a lot of coordination, but we can get it done. I think we're like three, maybe four guests behind. We're going to double up on a few of those and get it going. Look, I'm going to peel back the curtain a little bit. The summer was rough for MMA Junkie. We had to do a little bit of juggling behind the scenes with our staff. And we had, obviously, Fight Island. You know, that kind of pulls away a few of our journalists, you know, when they're over there and logging the travel and things like that. So I can't get into too many specifics, but we did an incredible juggling act over at MMA Junkie, and everybody chipped in doing extra work. You know, we couldn't really take vacations because we couldn't go anywhere. But at the same time, a few days off from just being in that grind, it was, you know, everybody needed it. But now that the full staff is kind of getting back together and all of these shows are being churned out, we're ready to perform. Again, quick shout out to everybody. And I think we're going to start booking a lot more guests so that they can become content on our website, recaps with video highlights. We lost an extended family as well on Junkie. We also added to the family on Junkie. So it's been a roller coaster here, you know, throughout the whole website. Some stuff you guys hear about, some stuff you don't. But I think you can all relate with what COVID has done to all of us. It's been rough.
Yeah, for sure. But this is going to be fun. I like how everything's going to be unfolding. And I like maybe one of them days where we do a blast, or when we go back to breaking down a couple fights with our panel. The good thing about the program that we're using here with Sportscaster is we can have multiple guests on here. It's not just George and I and a guest. We can bring in two guests if we want. So sometimes we'll go down and we'll really dive into a card and break it down. So it's going to be fun here on Sportscaster.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And again, I'll be keeping an eye because the election affects all of us one way or another. So far, no news. And I don't know if no news is good news. It might be for some. I don't know. But I'm keeping an eye on it. And, of course, it is halfway through the football season goes. And as we wait for Daniel Cormier, any thoughts on the Washington football team? And you might think I'm punking you because I know they don't have the best record. But your division has to produce somebody to make the playoffs. Yeah. Somebody that wins the division will go to the playoffs. Even if they wind up 4-12, 5-11, 6-10, or whatever. And that could be you guys because, again, every team is doing poorly in your division. So I don't know. Do you have any hopes? I mean, because think about it, guys. Last year, the Niners were 13-3. They went to the Super Bowl and they lost. But the season before, they were 4-12. It can all happen in one good year with a key agency free agency signing or two, players that you drafted going to the next level, and then incoming draftees that that can help, you know, spruce the team up. So give me a report card halfway through.
Halfway through, it's not so good. It almost looks exactly like it did last year, and that shouldn't be because we have a head coach change in Ron Rivera. Now, Ron Rivera has had a little bit rough because he's been battling cancer, but it looks like now he's cancer-free. But some of the just mistakes that we were making last year are still coming back to haunt us. Look, man, as a fan, you're never going to say, I hope they lose so I get a draft pick. That's if that's your frame of mind, then you're just not a sports fan. Like, I don't know anybody that could sit there and watch their team and hope they lose. Now, when they do lose, all right, and you look at it and you look at some of the guys coming out of college, yeah, it's okay to go, well, at least maybe we pick one of these guys up and rebuild somehow this way. But I'm not going to sit here and hope they lose. So I do hope that they win games. I do cheer for them to win games. But it is possible to go to the playoffs in that division just because everybody else is so weak. And you have wins over some of the guys in the division already. That's what you got to do. But whoever comes out of our division is not going to do much. We just don't have the talent.
Yeah. Sorry, communicating with Daniel Cormier right now. I didn't mean to drift off there, but I kind of heard exactly what you were saying. That guy that you got from Ohio State, though, Chase Young, right?
Oh, the defensive lineman? Yeah, he's legit.
I'm telling you, bro. When I said, you know, 4-12 to 3-13, the starting quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, had been injured the year before, we got him. Then we drafted Nick Bosa. He, along with a couple other guys, Solomon Thomas and DeForest Buckner, they had been previous picks who then elevated their game because the Nick Bosa can help you elevate your game, you know what I mean? And our defensive line was awesome. And guess what? All those guys are gone this year because two of them had season-ending injuries. One of them got traded. So that's how easily you can get hit. Garoppolo's out. Our starting running back, Mostert, he's out. And he's someone that was a blessing too. He came out of nowhere to give us a lot of carries last year. Deebo Samuel developed halfway through the season and became really, really important. By the way, he's out of tonight's game. I'm telling you, we should almost cancel tonight's game. We got three out due to COVID. We got a ton of injuries.
Four, no?
Well, three to COVID and one is a hamstring. That's Deebo Samuel.
Mm.
So, literally, we're in disarray. And then that game we lost to Seattle could have taken us to 5-3 despite all that. Instead, we're 4-4. I see the writing on the wall, man. Like Tom Selleck said, this isn't my first rodeo. We're in a good division and in a conference that has some really, really good teams with good records already. Not the NFC East, but still, I just don't think we're going to make the playoffs. And at this point, I don't know that we would make much of an impact. I know, I agree with Goz. You don't try and tank it. For sure you don't, because I'm telling you, if you give off that vibe, a lot of players that are so used to winning are not going to want to be a part of you. You go into every game, every Sunday, trying to win, all right? And I've seen a lot of teams 0-15, and on week 16, they go nuts, goes, they're throwing Gatorade over the coach, they're high-fiving, they're laying it all out on the line. You always, always try and win. Don't ever become one of those people that tries to lose to get a better draft pick or whatever. Now, what I have heard is questionable injuries where you shelve somebody that's important because it's probably the best play. You don't want to re-injure them. You can already see that mathematically you might be out. Yeah, sometimes that type of strategy works out. But, folks, I got to share this with you. Daniel Cormier won't be on today's show. He does have some family issues, and he apologizes. We're going to do a reschedule. So I think Goz and I put us down for five. We got to do five shows with two guests to make up for some of the setbacks that we've had the last few weeks. But, you know, what are you going to do, man? This is some tough times, and, you know, like I told DC, family's more important. Anyway. That allows us to spend the next 20 minutes with you guys talking about anything. Of course, we'll get back into MMA, but my half of the season report card, mid-season report card, just is basically what I told you. Besieged with injuries, our tight end who signed a contract for $15 million a year. I think it was 5 years, $75 million. George Kittle, he's out for possibly the year, I think 8 weeks. Garoppolo's out now. Throw in those other injuries I talked about. Richard Sherman goes, our cornerback from last year, who definitely helped out the team. I know he's not the player that he once was, but he's still a good starting cornerback. He's only played one game.
Dude, that cracks me up because I hear a lot of people say that about Sherman. And I don't know if people understand it because it's something kind of like Anderson Silva where you're so used to them being great that when they lose that step and they're no longer great, they're still really good. Richard Sherman's still a good cornerback.
Yeah, because he's smart. He knows exactly how – he may not have the speed, but if you have the experience and you can read a defense, an offense, read the quarterback, sometimes you can save a step or two there by taking the right angle with the anticipation. What he's no longer goes is a shutdown cornerback. Right. One that tells the free safety, I got this. You 10, play those other 10. I got this guy. And there's not too many of those in the game. In the game now, in the history of the game. I think Sherman for a couple years was a guy like that. But that doesn't, like Goz said, that doesn't mean he's not a good cornerback still. He still is. But I could see them maybe shutting him down for the year as well. Who knows? We'll see. A lot of these guys want to play, man. They want to play because they also know they're up against the clock. When you've been in the league for 8-10 years like Sherman has, yeah, of course you know that, okay, I'm out of Super Bowl contention, but I still want to play every Sunday.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look, just to transfer it over to MMA, like I said earlier, Anderson Silva is not great. He's not elite anymore. But ask we got our guests.
Okay, so folks, he rallied. We got him. Julian Marquez is fighting Kasparov on November 14th. And he joins us now.
Am I up? Am I live?
Yeah. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, man? What's up with you?
Not much. What's up with you? Where have you been, brother? I mean, I know the injury you had. You know the injury you had. And I know you've been through a lot. I am so excited to see you on a card. But a lot of people don't know what you went through. It was a shoulder injury that really, really got complicated. I'm glad we're all happy that you're back. But, man, how are you feeling? Like, are you animated now and ready to go? How trying was that for you these last two and a half years?
Man, I am cock-locked and ready to rock. I've been waiting for this moment for the past 28 months. And we were going to have it about 25 months in, but we had to push it off. My body's like a fucking Greek god right now. I feel amazing. I feel just energetic, and I'm ready for November 14th. I can't wait to display what I've been working on during my time off, during the time that I was doing surgeries and everything, all the stuff I was able to build while having, you know, not being able to use one arm. So I'm excited, man.
What were you able to do while you were rehabbing one arm? What could you do? What kind of martial arts training could you do?
I still could do everything. I would grapple. I would wrestle. I would strike everything I could, but I just have my right arm taped around my side, and I would literally do all that I could with one arm. You know, we have fighters out there with missing extremities, and these guys are successful. So for me to make an excuse saying that I can't do something because of it was that pretty much a false deal. So I would look up to these other fighters that would compete like that, and sometimes I would ask them for advice on how they would train just so I could do the same. I had assistance with lifting and the same thing as physical therapy. It's been amazing.
Now, your last fight was 2.5 years ago. I know you're going to get this for the next few weeks. What about ring rust? How do you think you're going to be able to overcome ring rust?
Wait, what are you asking? I need to rephrase that question.
You're going to get hit a lot with this question in the next couple of weeks. You've been gone for 2.5 years. They're going to ask you about ring rust. How are you going to be able to – what will you tell everybody – the reason that you'll be able to overcome ring rust, the kind of training that you get in, or live sparring, or do you just accept that you'll maybe have to incur ring rust at some point?
Ring rust is all mentality. That's the thing, is that when people say, like, oh, it's ring rust, it's because they haven't really been training and giving themselves that type of environment. Now, I know it's very difficult to mimic an environment where you're fighting in front of an octagon and everything like that. You know, I work with Dom the Hypnotist to help my mental game get to where it needs to be. And that's the thing, is that I mentally prepared myself for this. It's been 28 months. It's not that I have ring rust. It's more of, you know, how this guy's going to deal with someone that he's expecting to have ring rust. It's a mentality. I don't believe in it.
Julian, you shared with us the injury. You even came in the studio and kind of showed us your arm. Not a lot of people go through what you went through. At one point, did doctors ever tell you you may never fight again? And if so, what went through your head?
I was told, you know, after the first surgery, everything was going great. During therapy, it was tough. And, you know, things started getting complicated. I've been to 6 different therapists at the time, physical therapists. We ended up having to do a second surgery. And during that second surgery, after we're done, things weren't changing. And he literally told me, he goes, well, we could try this, and if it doesn't work, then we need to talk about doing a different, you know, a different route, a different play. So that's, he did tell me that at one point in time, but I, I didn't give up hope, and I still kept pushing through it.
After this fight, are you going to be one of those guys that's going to try and make up for lost time? I mean, fights get offered almost every week to different people. Do you want to keep active, or will this be a wrap on 2020?
This is the thing. I took 28 months off, not on purpose, but just by how it was. After this fight, again, I would love, if everything goes great, I would love to continue going. I would love to continue being the hype. The thing is, the UFC has been missing a Julian Marquez. That's the thing. You guys have been waiting for me to return. You've been waiting for my awesome character. You've been waiting for me to talk to you guys. And that's the thing is, when I'm in there, it's electrifying. It's fun. After post-fight interviews, during the interviews, it's always great. It's always exciting, and it's always something you're looking forward to hearing me talk. So I want to get in there and get going and, you know, go on one of these tears. I'll take these fights. I'll keep this going, you know. I just had 2 years of recovery, and right now I can sit there and take all this damage and take all this punishment on my body because my body has been treated correctly during the time off.
The Cuban Missile Crisis also is dabbling in the podcast world. Tell us about Beauty and the Beast. You having fun?
Oh, Beauty and the Beast podcast. So I met with Kendra Lust, and her and I both love MMA. We love, you know, just about everything she does. And we kind of just meshed together, and we'd always talk. And we loved the fact that, you know, we were just so easy to talk to each other. So we decided to do a podcast together called Beauty and the Beast podcast, where we talk about sex, bets, sports, and drugs. No, I'm just kidding, not drugs. But we talk about sex, bets, relationships, and fights. And I think they all really go hand in hand. I mean, you know, a lot of people have great fights and then they have makeup sex, or they have, you know, great picks and they lose a lot of money and they want to fight their friend for giving that pick. So, you know, it just all goes hand in hand. Kendra and I are, you know, peanut butter and jelly. We go together. What I don't know, she knows. And what she doesn't know, I know. And it's just, when we're together, it's just a very fun topic, a very fun conversation.
Who's better at picking picks, MMA picks, you or her?
Can you repeat that?
Who's better at picking winners, you or her?
It's a winner for her, for sure. She loves fighting. And, you know, you should have her on your guys' podcast. You guys should have her up here and have a conversation with her because she's phenomenal. She's awesome. She's educated. And, you know, she's good at what she does. I'm pretty sure you guys have looked at a couple videos of her.
Possibly.
Possibly, yeah. All right.
Hey, man, look, we'll make it quick today. You just got done working out. Thank you so much for popping in. Let's do a big catch-up after your fight's over, and you can talk about the fight, the whole experience. And thanks so much for joining us here on Junkie Radio.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me. I miss you guys so much, and I apologize that this has been taking a while and I'm having terrible service. But, hey, you know what? November 14th, you'll see my beautiful face in the ring, outside the ring. Afterwards, we'll get together, we'll have a conversation, and we'll blow some stuff up.
Sounds good. Julian Marquez, the Cuban Missile Crisis, joining us here on MMA Junkie Radio. He's going to be fighting on November 14th versus Saparbek Safarov. And this is UFC middleweight division here. That card is headlined by Islam Makhachev versus Rafael Dos Anjos. Eric Anders is back. Abdul Razak Al-Hassan is back. Luis Smolka is back. There's a lot of talent on this fight card. Ashley Yoder, the list goes on and on. Told you, the UFC is going to be really, really busy to close out the year. Follow Julian Marquez on his Instagram, at JMarquezMMA, and you can get all the links there for his podcast, Beauty and the Beast. Good job, guys, getting Julian on the show.
Yeah, it was just a matter of, you know, we have our little one-hour window, but well, we made it happen. Now we just got to work on Cormier and getting him back on, but these things happen with our show.
Well, now we're going to make up four. We only got to make up four. I said five, but we got Julian on, so we'll make up. We'll be 4 weeks. We'll double up on guests. That way you can always tell your friends, these guys average a guest a week. That's right. Tell your friends. They can subscribe very easily here on Sportscaster. And by the way, I'm telling you, folks, you thought I was kidding, but on Sportscaster, if you dabble around, you will see that there's a lot of talent on Sportscaster, all the way from like age 5, 10 to adults like Goz and I, talking about whatever they're passionate about, whether it's a sport, a league, a conference, a division, their favorite team, half of a game, the whole game. I'm telling you, I told Goz, I go, you got to get down here real quick, because I didn't even want to like copy paste the link and have him like blow it off to later. So he comes down, he goes, what? And I go, look at this kid. He sounds like a young Chick Hearn calling the basketball game. It was during the NBA playoffs. Remember that kid, Goz?
Yeah, he was legit. I remember him.
He had an announcer voice and everything, and he was a young kid. I was laughing my ass off, but I was like, way to go, kid. That nothing's stopping that kid. He has a dream. He's doing it. And, you know, maybe five days out of the week, all your friends are outside playing, you know, video games or whatever kids do outside now, baseball, football. And of those 5 days, you tell them, no, guys, on Wednesdays I can't because I'm working on something. Sometimes it's your mom puts you in a piano lesson. Sometimes you just wind up doing other kinds of chores or whatever. But if you have that free time and you're passionate about something, reading a book, or just Wednesdays is the day you call basketball games on Sportscaster, do it. I'm telling you, this kid could not have been more than 10 years old. And he had one of those voices where Shaq O'Neal passes to Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant, 3-point shot for Kobe Bryant. Los Angeles Lakers are now up 89-86, fourth quarter, 5 minutes, 22 seconds left. It was that good, right, Goz?
He was a one-man team, too. He didn't have an analyst with him.
Dude, I felt like Viper on Top Gun, and he's Maverick. And if he would have said, I felt like telling him, hey, if you ever need a co-host kid one day, you call me, man. I'm telling you, I would sit here on opposite ends with him and do a basketball game. Heck, I'd be honored to do it with him. That's how talented he was. And I don't know if I can find it. I looked for him on a couple other occasions. But
I subscribed to him, so I think I ended up getting him.
If you peruse the Sportscaster website, you will see a lot of people doing some cool stuff. They got really, really decked out studios, and they're having fun. They're passionate. You know what I mean? So if you're ever watching the Braves versus the Cubs one day, and you're just by yourself, the wife went away with the kids, you know, for the week, and you're at home, and you just maybe get tired of hearing what these jokers say on TV, look on Sportscaster. There's always someone calling some sort of a game. Check it out. You'll have fun, including Goz and I. We do Mondays and Thursdays here on Sportscaster, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, MMA Junkie Radio. Our website's MMA Junkie. Go to MMA Junkie, and you can get all the latest news regarding the great sport of mixed martial arts. We're the 5-time winners of the World MMA Awards. We also got a free app that's available on your tablets, on all smartphones. Check it out. It's free. That way, when you're on the road, if somebody asks you who's fighting this weekend, you just reach into your pocket and you can do what we did earlier on the show. You can go through all the different tabs, and you'll tell them exactly who's fighting, what time, what channel. The MMA Junkie app definitely rules. Goz on Twitter and Instagram is at the Goz. I'm at MMA Junkie George. The radio show is at MMA Junkie Radio. Also, we got a fabulous YouTube channel that's got a lot of great stuff like post-fight press conferences, pre-fight press conferences, pre-fight interviews, post-fight interviews. They're split and individualized. The Junkie Radio shows also appear there. Junkie Radio interviews appear there. Today, we'll be talking to Israel Adesanya, the UFC middleweight champ. I'm sure it'll make it on the YouTube. Some people are just YouTube. That's it. So that's why I'm plugging it. It's youtube.com/MMA Junkie Video. On our website, you'll probably see recaps from our interview with Israel Adesanya, with video highlights that are usually like 2 or 3 minutes long. But if you want to see the whole interview, go to our YouTube channel. And Goz doesn't know this unless he checked our internal family scheduling mechanism, but I booked Misha Tate for later. She'll be on as well.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Yeah, the former UFC bantamweight champ, also a former Strikeforce bantamweight champ, now a current ONE Championship vice president. So hey, it's fun to talk to her.
Before we leave, let me get your thoughts on Jeff Neal and Stephen Thompson.
Is it official?
I'm down.
Is it official?
I think so.
Sweet. My thoughts are that's a great fight for Jeff Neal. I would have preferred it for Leon Edwards, but I guess somebody had to take on Shimaev, and the UFC thinks highly of Shimaev. So Edwards did it. Because, see, Edwards didn't – he was running out of time. He hadn't fought for 18 months, you know. And all these other guys were just passing him up, like Gilbert Burns. Then Colby Covington had a great fight, and now he's back in the ballgame. And if Masvidal has a – you know, gets in there and gets another W, the UFC's going to push him. Because the UFC will go towards their stars before they'll go to their contenders. It helps when your stars are contenders. But Leon Edwards is in a really, really good position. About a year ago, you know, he was able to maybe call some shots, but it's been a year and a half since he fought. So he's fighting Shimaev, Hamzat Shimaev, the K is silent, and Stephen Thompson versus Jeff Neal. That works for me too, man.
I'm down with that.
Yeah. All right, folks, we're out of here tonight. Bellator tomorrow, ONE Championship Saturday. There's a fight night. Thiago Santos versus Glover Teixeira, light heavyweight division. And, of course, we'll be back on Monday to recap it all. Also, two other things on MMA Junkie. There's two video franchises that we launched last year, Rankings Report, Spinning Backlick. Check it out. If you subscribe to the YouTube channel, it'll just come to your email. But check it out. Those are two of the funnest ones of the week for me personally. Goes as part of the Spinning Backlick. And, again, check out our extended interviews on our YouTube channel that we do. We got Misha Tate coming up, Israel Adesanya, and we promise we'll get Daniel Cormier. We're going to get on out of here. Enjoy your weekend, and don't forget to always be a champion.